MLB season is upon us. It's real and it's spectacular. All chasing the title the Rangers hold. Our guest, a returning champ, host of the Unfiltered podcast, part of the Outstanding Believe Network. Follow along on Twitter. The handle is at Casey Stern. Of course, repping New York's 516. Casey, great having you back. How's life treating you these days?
Good, Steve. Always a pleasure, my friend. How are you? Happy baseball season.
Yeah, you too. I'm loving it. I want to start with the recent news, kind of some late spring signings. And you got the NL champs, the Diamondbacks, Jordan Montgomery, who was big for the Rangers last year. You know, Eduardo Rodriguez, who they signed, went down for a bit. We don't know how long he's going to be out. But, man, what about adding Montgomery, who's been a really durable starter for a few years, to that rotation?
Yeah, I love the Montgomery move. I mean, clearly, when Jordan Montgomery went out to market with his agent, Scott Boras, they had planned on getting 6 to 7 years, but they waited it out a little bit too long. And when you lose all that leverage and there's no drastic injury where some team is desperate to go get you and you're just sitting out there, then you have to take the kind of deal he did, which is 1 year, $25 million, and a vesting option, which could get him up to 50. Now, that's not a bad deal. But just to go back to the beginning of the free agent season, the first pitching signing of the entire free agency was Sonny Gray, who ended up getting an additional year at the same AAV that Jordan Montgomery got, and Sonny Gray did not go win a World Series. So maybe it didn't work out the way Monty wanted, but it does for the Diamondbacks as their franchise record payroll now coming into this year. And they're primed with, as you mentioned, when E-Rod gets back, him joining now Montgomery, Zach Allen, and Merrill Kelly to have one of the better rotations in the National League.
Let's stay in the senior circuit, and I was going to say the elephant in the room. It's more like the T-Rex, Shohei Ohtani. I don't get those who have drawn final conclusions. I think the press conference, you know, he read a statement, kind of like Michael Corleone in Godfather 2, but to me, it left the door open for way more questions. Curious as to your take on this whole mess as we're on the eve of the season starting.
Well, I think it's a mess. I think, look, rightfully, as you point out, we have no idea what happened. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's guilty, but I'm also not going to tell you he's not. Do I think that he gambled? If I had to guess, no, I don't think so. But I do think there's a chance the original story that had come out is the real story. Because for 48 hours, everybody was telling ESPN from the Ohtani camp, remember, and from Ipe the translator, that the story was basically as follows. Ipe, who is his closest friend here in the States, in addition to his translator, for those who don't know that, he was a guy with a bad gambling addiction and a lot of debt, and he doesn't have a lot of money, and Ohtani does. Ohtani, being a good friend and the good person he seems to be, covered all the debt, didn't bet on anything or actually make any of the bookie bets, but he covered the debt and didn't realize that gambling is illegal in entirety in that manner in California, and he'd be facing federal charges. So as soon as that happened and got to his folks, he backed up. All of a sudden, all the stories changed, and away we go. Now, maybe that's not how it went. Maybe it is as Ohtani plays it out. But there are a lot of questions if Ohtani is right. Number one, how does it get all the way past his camp for 48 hours where his people, his staff, are discussing things like this with ESPN and just solely relying on the translator without communicating with Ohtani? How does a bookie set up a bankroll with somebody who's got no money to where they can get $4.5 million in debt? And, you know, that's just kind of the beginning in terms of the several unknowns that we have even after the presser. So I think it's going to go on for a few months. I don't think it's necessarily going to be quieted down until we get all of this sorted out. But there is still, to me, a lot of doubt whether or not Ohtani knows more than he's saying that he knows.
Well, I agree with one thing wholeheartedly. Back in the 80s when my friends and I were degenerates and bet with a bookie, I know we weren't getting a $4.5 million line of credit. I'll tell you that much,
no.
Casey. After we were in the hole for about $200, we had to pay up. But anyway, we continue talking MLB, Casey Stern, Unfiltered podcast. Let's stay with L.A. I'm not big on predicting who wins the World Series because what we've learned, even if you have the best record in MLB, you've got like a 1-4 shot. So assume Ohtani's bat is in there. They added Teoscar Hernandez. I guess in a month, maybe Walker Buehler might be back. And they've added to the rotation, though maybe no defined closer. I mean, is there any way around the Dodgers as looking like a powerhouse contender?
Yeah, I mean, look, on paper, which, as you pointed out, means nothing. The Dodgers have won a lot of division championships and not won the World Series, and Dave Roberts has only gotten there and done that actually one time. So, last year with the Diamondbacks, a great example, as you mentioned, getting knocked out and really in three games having no chance seemingly. But the two best teams on paper, clearly in Major League Baseball, are the Braves and the Dodgers. And I don't even know if it's close, if I'm being honest. It doesn't mean that that's a guarantee that one of those teams will get there. But I think if you're trying to kind of pick scratch and you just want to be right and you're not worried about Vegas odds, if you're picking one of those two teams to go win the World Series, you're probably, barking up the right tree. And I think when you look at the Dodgers, their lineup is as stacked as you could possibly have it. You mentioned Teoscar Hernandez. He becomes an afterthought. Will Smith, who, by the way, got a 10-year deal today for $140 right. million himself. And then, of course, Beth, Ohtani, and Freeman, which are three of the top four, speaking of Vegas, betting line candidates for MVP outside of Acuna, who's on the Braves. The other three are hitting, 1-2-3 in the lineup for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So they're loaded, they're stacked, they've got tons of money, they can go add at the deadline, and I think that they're going to be great. The one thing I think that everybody should understand, going back to Montgomery, is Arizona is still stacked and has a really good chance to go make another run. The Padres brought in Dylan Cease via trade, which is a very big deal. The Giants look really good. Blake Snell comes in. Jordan Hicks, in his transition from being a closer and fireballer to being a starter, has looked to be seamless so far. And they've got a staff already with Logan Webb and Robbie Ray possibly returning. They're an interesting team. And I think, when you look at those four in the NL West, you could stake a case that the old AL East is now the current NL West, which very possibly could be the best division in Major League Baseball this year.
Yeah, I'm happy you brought up the Giants because our minor league team, the Emeralds, are an affiliate. And they didn't make what you would call the big splash moves. I mean, they brought in Jung-Hoo Lee from Korea. He's going to lead off. The addition of Matt Chapman, a great glove. Jorge Soler. I feel like, accurate to say, the Giants are kind of like sneaky good. They didn't grab all the headlines, but they really improved.
Yeah, I think so. And I think this is a better setup for Bob Melvin, who thrives as a manager in this exact environment, because that's kind of what the A's were for a long period of time, where nobody was giving them respect. And I don't think that he necessarily fit the bill with A.J. Preller in the way that the Padres were kind of touted last year. I think for him it's probably a better fit as well. I like the way the Giants look. They still are willing with that ownership, remember, to spend tons of money because they went after Aaron Judge as hard as anybody, including the Yankees, a year ago, and they wanted to go even bigger this offseason as well. They will be in on the Sotos and others in the world moving forward. And I say that because it's a deadline, which really this league has come down to. What do you do when it's that close? And are you willing to push that pedal? They're going to be willing to take on contracts if they're good come July. So I really do think this is the best division in baseball. I think it clearly is the best pitching of any division in baseball. And I feel bad for Colorado Rocky fans.
I got to ask about Philly. I mean, two great years, NLCS, World Series. They re-upped Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler. Not a lot of new faces. I think I read Whit Merrifield from Toronto. And, of course, they've got the thumpers, Harper, Schwarby, Nick Castellanos, a lot of pop. They'll have a new closer with Kimbrell in Baltimore. How legit are they to get back into contention come October?
Yeah, I think they're right there, and it starts with Wheeler and Nola at the front of that rotation. I mean, look, Zach Wheeler is as good as there is right now in the game. I mean, he clearly has become a top handful pitcher and should be up near the top if he's not your top Cy Young candidate in the National League, which what he's done. He deserved the extension he got in the offseason for what he's done in the postseason. As you mentioned, they spent about $300 million in just keeping those two guys there, but that's because that's what's gotten them there. They've kind of been a little bit wonky in the lineup and in the bullpen and almost every other area as these last couple of seasons have gone on, and they've come on strong to obviously make a big-time run a couple of years ago, get to a World Series, and then last year get back to a postseason again. I think they're a postseason team, clearly. Do I think that there's a gap between the Braves and the Phillies? I do. Do I think that the Phillies are better than the other teams outside of the Dodgers in the National League West? It's possible, but I think if you're looking at the NL, it's pretty simple this year. I don't think you're going to see many surprises. You've got four horses that are racing in the National League West. You get two in the NL East, and then whoever wins the Central. And that's pretty much your playoff picture in the National League this year.
All right, let's get to the AL, talking with Casey Stern, Unfiltered Podcast, Believe Network. Of course, I'm going to ask about the Yankees. Look like Stanton kind of trimmed up maybe to stay in the lineup. The addition of Soto is huge. Got to keep Judge healthy. But then, of course, now Cole is on the shelf and a lot of questions surrounding that rotation. Are they a contender? Are they a contingent contender? Are they a suspect contender? What's my spring and summer going to be like, Casey?
Well, I think they're a contender contingent on the health of Gerrit Cole. And it really is that simple. I mean, I thought the Yankees, even with Gerrit Cole, and I understand the luxury tax, but this is the Yankees. And even though this is not what we grew up with in terms of, you know, George Steinbrenner, it's the other Steinbrenners, I don't care. At the end of the day, you know, you're not making postseasons. You're losing to the Astros easily when you were there. Let's not forget they had a 3-2 lead on them going back in 2017. We go all the way the last number of years, and it has not gone well. And you got to get out there and win. You didn't change Mooney, and Brian Cashman's still there. And what do you do? And the Soto move I love, but I would have loved to see a Snell or a Feast or a return of a Montgomery, especially with Gerrit Cole's injury. And the thing that I keep pointing out with the Cole injury is as follows. Everybody's saying 8 to 10 weeks, and he's avoiding surgery. Neil Eletrosh is as good as anybody literally in this country. So he's with the right guy. And if he says out in L.A. that he doesn't need surgery, he may not. But whatever the processes are that he goes through, once he goes through his own spring training and then simulating at-bats, he's going to get to a big league mound and then throw with all the max effort that Gerrit Cole throws with because of the kind of passion and emotion he pitches with. And only then are we going to know whether or not this holds up. We may wait 2 to 3 months before literally getting him to the mound and then find out in 2 to 3 weeks that we don't see him again this season. That is a possibility still.
Well, that's really uplifting. let's get to the Mariners. You know, 2 years ago, they finally broke that long playoff drought, just missed last year. On the left and right of Julio Rodriguez, they'll have new corner outfielders. I really like their rotation, though. Their five-guy, Brian Wu, is a little on the shelf right now. I thought Munoz showed he could be a big K-man in the closer role. Obviously a tough division. How would you rate them as a potential playoff contender?
Yeah, I think they're a playoff contender. I'm just not sure they're a contender to win the division when all is said and done because I just think that the Astros are too strong. Look, they're back into the bullpen with Houston, with Abreu and Presley and Hader. I mean, that's going to be the best in baseball. And that's going to be untouchable if they get to October, which Houston seems to do every year. And even though you get, you know, Verlander with the hiccup, and who knows if the rotation's deep enough where it's been better in years past, the Astros still have what they have, and they got a ton of experience in that room. As far as the Rangers, I mean, they're kind of good enough to hang with, especially with the youth of Carter. Now Langford will be there offensively, and we still have with Evaldi in the rotation. They're good enough. If DeGrom and Scherzer give them even, I don't even know, a B version of whatever you dream of if you're a Ranger fan after the All-Star break, then forget it. They're going to be the best team in that division down the stretch because DeGrom, when he's healthy, is the best pitcher in baseball. So, you know, I like Seattle. I think that their pitching is definitely good enough. It's their strength for sure. I think Julio is an MVP candidate for sure. I think they're a playoff team because I hate the Central. And I don't see that much in the East, to be honest with you. But I don't think they're as good as the two teams in Texas. I don't.
All right, and finally, I love what you posted on Twitter, kind of what does opening day mean to you? And I always take the little kid approach. And remember, I date back to the early 70s. And for the younger crowd, there used to be an off season where you didn't see the Mets or Yankees. And then you saw a little bit of spring training. And then all of a sudden, the Mets on WOR, the Yankees on WPIX. And to me, it always meant like, it's here. Finally. So from Casey Stern's view, when you think about opening day, what gets you stoked?
Yeah, to me, the optimism, the hope, thinking back, and I said this today, you know, the idea that, you know, even as adults, regardless, I've got kids and we've got jobs and lives. It's like, you know, it's a holiday for us where you just get to be a big kid and put the hat on backwards and turn around the TV and see how your fantasy team is doing. Or maybe you're heading out to the ballpark. And I think it's just, you know, there's a, you know, I don't want to call it a religion in terms of a reality, but it is kind of its own thing and its own cult following being a baseball fan. And when you head in droves to opening day to the ballpark, there's a different feeling in that building that day than any other day outside of when you get to the postseason. I'm not saying it feels as big in terms of big game, but it feels as happy and as elated as any other day you're going to find, including a postseason, because that's how much people have waited and how long it's felt that you've been without baseball.
Well put, folks. It's go time. He's Casey Stern. For MLB fans, you got to check out all the great talk and information on the Unfiltered podcast, part of the Believe Network. On Twitter, follow along. Use the handle at Casey Stern. Casey, great stuff. Always appreciate the time. Enjoy it. And, of course, look forward to talking again as this season moves along.
You guys, Steve, anytime. Be well. Have a good night.
All right. Take it easy.